We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Major crossroads here for the Golden State Warriors. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Golden State bows out last night to the Sacramento Kings. Perloff, their season is over, and there's a chance the dynasty could be over. And that is a decision to make about the future of Klay Thompson, a decision to make about really what do the Warriors want the rest of Steph Curry's prime to look like? Is it going to be counting on the young guys to take these massive steps forward, or do they really try to reshuffle the deck and give themselves a major facelift to maximize Curry in the end of his career?
I mean, that sounds awesome. I just don't know how. I mean, give me a plan here. Give me somebody. Unfortunately, maximizing the rest of Curry's career means letting Curry go to Dallas or something. I don't even know what it means because I'm not sure that's possible. One thing I will say, they were done before. You know, after KD got hurt, they didn't make the playoffs 2 years in a row. Then they came back and won the title. So this is now a two-year drought. Or actually, no, I'm sorry. It's a one-year. Is this a two-year drought?
2 years.
2 year drought. So they have the wheels have been coming off for 5 years now. So they haven't really been this dominant team, but you never know with them. Because what if the young guys all of a sudden develop? And then they can support Curry, and that's your sort of super team.
Okay, but here's the thing. When they reloaded to try to get back to another title and beat the Boston Celtics two seasons ago, what was one of the main things that they did? They were able to find an Andrew Wiggins who was that middle ground. Not a super young guy, but had been the former number one overall pick and had, you know, the career was just not going great. And he ended up being a major contributor to that championship team. You're saying there's no middle ground. Either you have to, you know, just fingers crossed and hope and pray that all these young guys take a step forward and you are light years ahead of every other team, or you just sort of blow it up and trade Steph Curry and you have to start from scratch again. I do think there's middle ground. I think I'm giving the Warriors some credit here. If they make a couple of the right moves, there is a way to keep going. Now, you want some names. There could be three big names that the Warriors might be interested in. We already know there was some interest in LeBron James at the trade deadline. Now, how real was it? How realistic was it? I don't know. But LeBron James has already been a name that's been floated.
Sounds like a pipe dream.
Paul George is going to be out there. Now, he's going to be expensive.
He's going to be max, isn't
he? We'll see. And then you also have whatever monitoring the situation in Milwaukee with what's going on with Giannis. So
that sounds like a hope and a prayer, another hope and a prayer, hope and a prayer.
It's the NBA, so it's more than hope and a prayer. It's more of a hope to just to watch the young guys and say you guys can contribute to another Steph Curry title than it is to, you know, play this 3D chess to try to get another superstar.
Well, first of all, Andrew Wiggins is still there, ironically. You're like that tweak. So that guy's still there, and he was just filling the Harrison Barnes role. That is not a complete change of a team. And yeah, maybe they tweak here and there, but I just don't think this new superstars are coming in. Honestly, by the way, and I don't even rule out them re-signing Klay. Who knows? That would be
a mistake.
That would probably be a mistake unless you get him for cheap, because then why not? I don't think he'll be cheap unless the other team saw what he did last night, 0-for-10, and say, I'm not going to pay for that. But I love what you're saying. And of course, it makes sense to play this 3D chess. I just don't know if they have the moves in them this year. They thought they were doing it when they got young and they got all those draft picks and they drafted Wiseman and they got Moody in the same draft. They thought they were playing 3D chess and it just didn't work out. They happened to be in a draft where there were no good players. I mean, what were they supposed to do in that draft? They took Wiseman because they needed a big guy. The other choice was LaMelo Ball, who wouldn't have really fit in with this team anyway. So I'm not sure that this chess move is out there. You give them a lot of credit to think that they can revamp this.
Well, the reason why I give them credit, we're talking about the Warriors whose season ended last night. Unless they're going to be blinded by this loyalty. And that's what it would be. We've seen this happen in other franchises. You fall so much in love with your own players that you feel like you owe them lifetime contracts and continue to pay and pay and pay. And that's why I would not be paying Klay Thompson, because the rumor that was out there was like 2 years, $60 million, but he wants more years. Like, at some point, you know, it's just going to end. And you know, the reason why I give the Warriors some credit that they can make some moves is because I think playing with Steph Curry is very appealing, and superstars have an outsized amount of influence in this sport more than any other. And not only can you tell a team, I want you to trade me, you can say, I want you to trade me here. And it might not have worked for Dame Lillard, who wanted to go to Miami and end up in Milwaukee, but it certainly as hell worked for Kevin Durant, who wanted to go to Phoenix and only Phoenix, and he found himself there.
So, but has he ever convinced anyone? I know he got KD in free agency, but has he ever had them trade for anybody? I mean, what have the Warriors done? He's 36. He's never done this before. And why, if you're a superstar, why do you want to come to this team, too? Play with Steph at this point, really?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the other part is you look, I'm trying to play the long game here, which is I'm trying to envision what this is going to feel like the day that Steph Curry retires. And the day he retires, will you look back and say, you know what, the last 4 years, we really just didn't have the right strategy. We regret not being more aggressive when we had potentially a chance to be more aggressive. And maybe we could have gotten a fifth title out of Curry, and we never did.
God, I don't think they're that close. And by the way, whoever pays Paul George is... that's going to end up being one of the worst contracts in NBA history.
Well, get ready for it, Philadelphia 76ers.
I'm actually not even sure
they
do.
Clap your hands, everybody.
I just think that, you know, this old... you're talking about adding old superstars. I mean,
that's totally...
KD is going to go from franchise to franchise hunting that next ring. I just say, why didn't you bring that guy back? Why not run that thing back? I'm sure KD...
I don't think you can get along with Draymond.
He's already sick of Phoenix. The point is, like... careers end. Guys fade. We think that the natural order of things is different in sports because Tom Brady won a Super Bowl in Tampa and because LeBron is still doing this. The reality is stars get old and they can't keep winning titles. And that's what's happening with Steph Curry. And there's no way, the way the NBA salary cap is set up, it's going to be impossible for them to build a championship team around them.
Never impossible. But I get what you're saying. And I think this is why I'm talking about with Curry and talking about it with LeBron, where we're not really talking about this with, say, a Kawhi Leonard or even a Paul George or whatever. There is a certain amount of respect that has to be paid by a team when you have an all-time great. And you have the generational guy who is aging well and is taking care of his body and is still playing at a high level and is still delivering for you. I think it's, and the Warriors have done this, you owe it as much to the player as the player owes it to you to maximize every season or try to maximize every season of that player. We don't give this to everybody. I'm not saying this about KD. This is rare for Curry and for LeBron, where every year has to be an all-in year at the end.
Yeah, all in, great. What is that? There's no other all in. They are all in. They've paid everybody. You know,
they need a different type of all in because they paid everybody and they didn't make the playoffs.
They would gladly mortgage their future to get Giannis. Guess what? That seems impossible. Yes, you know what? Give him Luka. Why not add Anthony Edwards in Minnesota? These are pipe dreams. It sounds like George Costanza planning an outfield for the Yankees.
No.
These moves they're not possible.
It's not because Luka doesn't want to leave, and because who else did you give me? Anthony Edwards? They don't want to leave. But if you
there's no way a 25-year-old ascending superstar is coming to Golden State.
They Giannis isn't 25.
Well, even Giannis, like, there's nothing the Warriors can offer to get Giannis.
I'm just saying you have guys at different points in their careers who, what's like, there's a legit strategy in the NBA to essentially wait for a disgruntled star.
Yeah, and, like James Harden. But those are enormously distressed stars. Bring in Harden. See if that fixes it. There's not really NBA title-winning players that are available on the market.
Yeah, but you're pairing them with Steph Curry.
Like who? Like Harden? LeBron? LeBron's 40.
I watched him play 41 minutes last night and win a game.
If you put LeBron, you took out Clay and you put LeBron on that, you think the Warriors are favorites? LeBron can't win with Anthony Davis.
Listen, I like my can-do attitude more than I like your defeatist attitude.
No.
Because you're not winning any titles with the Perloff method.
My method is Jonathan Kuminga becomes a great star. Listen, mine is called reality. Yours is called fantasy basketball.
I feel like I watch fantasy basketball with the NBA. If I didn't see it year after year after year, guys teaming up, guys forcing where they wanted to go, major facelifts on teams overnight. If that didn't happen, I wouldn't be sitting here suggesting it. But I watch it happen every offseason.
And what's the team recently that's won doing that?
I mean, you want to? I can give you the Heat.
Recently,
I will give you.
I mean, the Raptors brought in Kawhi for 1 year.
Yeah,
they got
say.
Lucky because KD blew out his Achilles.
Well,
but generally,
I'm telling you. Or how about this? I don't know if I can give you a winner, but I can give you a team that gets closer than losing a one game playoff, a play in rather, to the Sacramento Kings, who have been basically free falling ever since Malik Monk got hurt, ever since Kevin Huerter got hurt. So I could give you a team. At least I'll get you. Can I get you closer? Because the Warriors right now, this is not close. Being 10th place and losing to Sacramento, a team that you generally have been really good against, that's not close. Get you closer.
Who's the team you're giving me closer?
I'm telling you, I can try to get Steph closer with a different cast of characters.
Yeah, I'd love to have a different. I just think that the realistic way the NBA teams are built, I don't think they have this option. Yeah, I would love to bring in a bunch of great players if I'm the Warriors, but I don't know how they're going to do that.
I don't need a bunch. I need one other great player to pair with Steph Curry. 855-212-4227. All right, it is Wednesday, which means
The Great Debate Series.
All right, we do this every Wednesday at this time, and this one is inspired, like most weeks, by some news of the week. And it started with the Masters and then continued on into Monday. All-time great broadcasters who are calling it a career. So Vern Lundquist called his last Masters. Then John Sterling, the voice of the Yankees, he decided to hang it up. He's been the voice of the Yankees since 1989. So today, the great debate, the greatest call of all time. Not the greatest broadcaster, necessarily, but the greatest call you've ever heard. Play-by-play, live call of a sporting event. Who is the greatest? Perloff, you can start us off.
So I actually am lucky because I don't know how I got the jump on this one first, but I have one of the greatest broadcasters of all time and the greatest call of all time. So I got a combo platter. Of course, you know the movie Miracle. Where do you think it came from? Let's play it.
Puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
So I'm sure everybody's got calls from big games, but not games that change the entire world order. We beat the Soviet Union. Al Michaels, who had only called one hockey game his whole life and had this incredible career, the one call he'll be known for his entire life is a sport that he didn't even cover. They showed it on tape delay, changed the world, 1980 Olympics, Al Michaels, do you believe in miracles? Yes, yes, I do.
It's an all-time great call. I guess some diplomacy mixed in with that call.
Oh, yeah.
Beating the Soviets and then going on to beat Finland.
I think the most famous, Jesse Owens doing it in Berlin was bigger.
Yeah,
but this was probably second place in sort of world-changing sporting events.
Yeah. I don't think we have that live call of Jesse Owens. I don't know if it's probably not. Okay. For me, we're doing great debate today. The greatest calls of all time. The greatest live calls, announcer calls ever. And for me, this one is huge because it's a rivalry game. It's a all-time moment. It's got a nickname. And the enthusiasm of this call is unmatched.
56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow. Oh, my God. Auburn wins. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl in the most unbelievable fashion you will ever see. I cannot believe it. 34-28. And we thought a miracle at Jordan-Hare was amazing. Oh, my Lord in heaven. Chris Davis just read it. 109 yards. And Auburn is going to the championship game.
Oh, wow. I mean, the enthusiasm, basically having an orgasm in the booth there. And I understand it because...
We got pizza here.
Because... Yeah. that it's not just the rivalry game, but also what it represented, right? Because you're also going on, this is the Cam Newton Auburn team, and that's Rod Bramblett on Auburn Radio. Just the joy, pure joy. Sorry, could I not say that on air? EJ, I mean, you're up.
It happened
already. Too late now.
Yeah,
so. Right. I'm not Pete.
It's not a curse. It's a
biological term.
You're Pete just used his remote dump button.
Pete actually just threw a blow dart into my neck from his house.
It's a computer ray.
I'm going to have a four text and break now.
He's on his phone being like, dump, dump, dump. What's going on? So, yeah. My pick. Okay, so great picks. I'm going to take us back, though. I'm taking us back all the way to the 60s. It's a cut we've actually played on the show for an earlier great debate, but now we're talking about greatest calls, and you're talking about iconic voices. And really, when you think about basketball, how do you not think about this play?
Greer's putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep, and Havlicek steals it over the stand Jones. Havlicek stole the ball. It's all over. It's all over. Johnny Havlicek is being mobbed by the fans. It's all over.
Johnny Most, Havlicek stole the ball. Raspy voice, probably smoking a cigarette right before the play. Probably spilled out of his mouth when Havlicek made the play. I think it's really synonymous with the Boston Celtics dynasty of the 50s and 60s. John Havlicek, of course, one of the greatest players of all time. And Johnny Most, I mean, I hate the Celtics. I hate most things Boston.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he is what you think about when you think of local play-by-play announcers. Character, very partisan, clearly rooting for the team that's happening, lying about what's happening on the court. He was the best. So I think that this is a pretty easy pick for me. I'm going with Johnny Most. Havlicek stole the ball.
Can I be honest? I know Havlicek stole the ball. Like, it's deeply imprinted on my sports brain. I don't know the circumstances. I actually describe it like, that's one of those ones, like, you know Havlicek stole the ball, but do most people know when he stole the ball or what impact it had?
It was a Tuesday in December.
Yeah. Like, it didn't mean that much.
Yeah, it's funny. It's definitely so iconic, but I think the some of the details of it are a little foggier.
Bogish, what do you have for us in the great debate today, the greatest sports calls of all time?
Unlike EJ, I'm going to go with something that I was alive for. It's one of my earliest baseball moments. Baseball is my first love. And this is the opposite, Maggie, too, of your Auburn call. All the excitement that was, different level of subduedness in this call. Game one, 1988 World Series, A's and Dodgers in L.A., and Kirk Gibson wobbles to the plate with Jack Buck on the mic.
Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field. This is going to be a home run. Unbelievable! A home run for Gibson. And the Dodgers have won the game 5-4. I don't believe what I just saw. I don't believe what I just saw.
Sometimes just a handful of words are better than orgasmic moans and whatnot on Auburn Radio. It is one of the most significant moments in baseball history. Kirk Gibson, much like Perloff with major disruptions to both MCLs, yeah, fights off pitch after pitch against Dennis Eckersley and then somehow muscles out that two-run homer. I don't think he gets another at-bat in the entire series, yeah, with the Dodgers win in five games over the A's to win the 88 World Series. After beating my Mets in the NLCS somehow in Game 7.
Is it possible that one kind of call is appropriate for baseball, another for college? You,
yes,
need that for college football, right?
Yeah.
Well, also a radio call versus TV. So radio, you need, right?
Was those this are both the radio call? Yeah.
Now, no. I thought Vin Scully had the radio
no,
call.
No, Vin Scully was on TV.
Oh, Vin was the TV call.
Yes.
Okay. Because sometimes with radio, you need more, and TV, you need less, obviously. Yeah. And Joe Buck is kind of a clinic on that. Carlos, you are in for Pete today. You get to pick the greatest call of all time. That's our great debate. What do you have?
Well, I'll channel my inner Pete. First of all, let me say I'm very disappointed in EJ because EJ, this is the type of call that he would pick. When I'm looking for my calls, I want it to transcend the actual event itself. This call is completely iconic, but me and Bogus are on the same wavelength. This was also in 1998. I'll let the call speak for itself and then elaborate.
He has broken in half.
Good old JR Jim Ross at the then WWF/WWE. I don't know what they were at that point.
WWF.
That was the third Hell in a Cell match ever. It was Undertaker versus Mankind. And right off the rip, Undertaker flings Mankind off of the top of the cage.
Yep.
It's crashing into the Spanish announce table. Not only did Mankind get up, He gets back on top of the Hell in a Cell. Undertaker choke slams. He breaks through, and he lands in the middle of the ring. They think he's dead for how crazy that bump was. That call has transcended not only wrestling. That was peak Attitude Era. And that call is basically a meme now.
Yeah.
You can use that in various YouTube videos. It's the funniest thing of all time. Like when Germany destroyed Brazil or the other way around in the World Cup. That was used.
There you go.
I mean,
I love the detail, the Spanish broadcasting table.
It's always the Spanish broadcast table.
Yeah. They always take the brunt of the punishment.
I mean, I've not to name drop, I've talked to Mankind about this. I mean, he said that really, maybe he's lying because this is all a little bit of theater, but said that really changed him. It was
had to
not.
It literally changed his wrestling style. He's like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, can't do it anymore. And so it's funny because the punishment that he took from that, it's like it really changed who he was. Okay, there you go. Great debate for today. The greatest call in the history of sports. Perloff went with Al Michaels. Do you believe in miracles? I went with the Auburn kick six. EJ went with Johnny Most. Havlicek stole the ball. Bogus Jack Buck's Kirk Gibson call in the World Series. And Carlos went with Jim Ross calling Mankind in Hell in a Cell. Got a lot for you. 855-212-4227. We return. More basketball coming your way next.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Is this another theme song, Carlos?
Of course. We're keeping the theme going.
So the theme is songs from bands that have teams, cities that have teams alive in the Western Conference that are from cities. I do not. You got this one, Mag?
Is this Rage?
This is Rage.
Where are they from? I thought
Rage
they were from
the
New
Machine
Jersey.
Is from, I don't know where Rage is from. Are
is
they
it Tom Morello from the East?
One of their albums is called Battle of Los Angeles.
Oh, they're from L.A.? Yeah, okay.
Tom Morello's from L.A.?
I don't know about him specifically. I know the band is from L.A.
Love a little Rage. Should incorporate more of that into the show.
So what team are we talking about here?
Is it Clippers or Lakers?
It's the Clippers. They're the fourth seed.
Why did you do
a little more angsty?
Yeah, I got to be honest. Like, there's so many like bands that I don't know.
Oh, here we go with the credits.
Like, you're not gonna do Snoop Dogg or Dr. Dre or
you don't think I was gonna put Snoop and Dre for the Lakers? That they're more synonymous with the Lakers than they are the Clippers.
Nobody's synonymous with the
and
Clippers.
I guess technically the Lakers. Well, yeah, I mean they're good.
It's really more Jack Nicholson, but he doesn't sing.
He doesn't have an album. Paul Abdul.
By the way, you're right.
Really
all the Rage. I didn't know the Rage Against the Machine was from L.A.
Rage
they
from
feel
LA.
Very angsty and not California. But yeah.
Not
I guess
exactly.
They want to upset the establishment that is L.A. Order or whatever that is.
Aren't they
very L.A.? Wow, they are all from, I'm an idiot. Okay.
Aren't the Doors like the greatest band from L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, they're very L.A. No, I think I'm
partial to Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I think with Red Hot Chili Peppers and when Dre and Tupac did that song about California, like that kind of like, I don't know.
That song about California?
Yeah.
The one that's called California?
Oh, with the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys are the most iconic L.A. band. Right?
I still think the Doors are, but that's just me.
This sounds like a poll, because I don't know if Beach Boys are as iconic as you think they are.
Well, no, but it's connected to a place, the beach.
Yeah, but there's beaches a lot of places.
I don't know. I think the beach, Pet Sounds is like one of the all-time greatest albums ever, no? I think so.
EJ, this is another great debate
California,
next week.
Isn't there a big song, California Girls? Isn't that from them?
I mean, think that's Katy Perry?
No. Wish They All Could Be California Girls is definitely the Beach Boys.
But then, the Katy Perry does have a good song called California Girls as a playoff.
Yeah.
And obviously, let's not forget David Lee Roth.
Oh, can't forget him.
What about him?
He sang California Girls. He has that video where he's just walking past a million girls in bikinis. Young Andrew Perloff was really into this video.
Great video. Don't remember the song.
The great debate today actually is not greatest bands from L.A. We could do that. Maybe it sounds like a summer topic. But also the greatest sports calls of all time. We had Vern Lundquist, who called his last Masters. John Sterling has retired as the voice of the Yankees. Got us thinking about all-time great calls. So I'll just run through them quickly. We just did them, and then we see you guys on the phones. Perloff did Al Michaels' Do You Believe in Miracles? I did the Auburn kick six. EJ went with Johnny Most. Havlicek stole the ball. Bogish went with Jack Buck. Kirk Gibson call, not the Vin Scully version, the Jack Buck version. And Carlos went with Jim Ross of the WWE calling Mankind broken in half and Hell in a Cell. Let's get to you. Brandon is in Utah. He's got one for us. Hi, Brandon. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. What's your greatest live call?
Well, my favorite play caller of all time is Hot Rod Hundley from the Utah Jazz. And my number one, I guess, would be John Stockton shooting over Charles Barkley to send him into the finals.
Here we go. This is what it sounds like.
Russell to Stockton. Stock for three. Stock got it. Unbelievable. John Stockton. John Stockton. It's over. The Jazz win it.
Utah goes to Chicago. Stockton hits the three. It's over. The Jazz are coming to Chicago. They've won the West.
There you go. That sounds old.
Yeah.
96.
Brandon, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
We know how that ended.
We do. We won't bring that up to Brandon.
Man, that's 28 years old.
What's that?
That's 28 years old.
Sounds about right. I was a kid.
I saw that era is on Hardwood Classics on NBA TV all the time. Man, and I'm immediately, if I see any of those late 90s NBA basketball.
Elbow hurts.
Amazing. What's up? What do you
Nothing.
Do? Oh. Oh, you're saying I'm gripping something too tightly?
Well, we know that it's the golf elbow, and you haven't played golf in years. So what were we left to believe? Christina's in Toronto. Christina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. What's your nomination for greatest sports live call of all time?
I got two.
Okay.
The Miami Miracle.
Okay.
And Touch 'Em All Joe.
We got that one for you. Let's hear it.
Here's the pitch on the way. A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Awesome. Awesome call. Wait, Christy, the Miami Miracle. Is that the lateral plays? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, the one against the Patriots.
Okay. We weren't exactly sure. Christina, thanks so much for that, and we'll find it for you. But the Touch 'Em All Joe is beyond iconic.
Yeah. Still some mystery about where that ball is, by the way. Have you guys ever heard that theory?
Mm-mm.
That the Joe Carter home run never really went out of the park? And no one's found the ball. That's a Philadelphia Philly desperation theory.
Jeez, that is sad.
They never found the Joe Carter ball. And I don't know why Philly's fans sometimes glom onto that.
But don't we see it go over the fence?
Not so much.
Really?
This is an Aaron Rodgers conspiracy theory.
Rodgers isn't.
It's on the internet. It must be true.
I got to find this. There is some made up Philadelphia controversy about the Joe Carter home run. Go proceed. I will find it.
All right. Well, we see you guys. You want to get more of your favorite announcer calls? Let us know. That's our great debate today. Bogish has headlines. Good morning.
Good morning again. So USA basketball coach Steve Kerr can now focus fully on shunning Jalen Brunson from the Paris Olympics now that his Warriors season is done with a thud in Sacramento.
Here's Davion. Hesitates. Circles under the basket. Lobs it out to Alex Lynn. Hands to Keegan. Rocks. Fires. Scores! Oh, that was a quick release that time, and it had to be because Draymond Green was right there.
And that's Pete's submission for his favorite call ever because he loves himself some Gary Gerald on Kings Radio. Draymond Green might have been there on that play, but he and the Warriors put up little resistance in the second half in Sacramento last night. The Kings running away with a 118-94 victory. In the play-in tourney, De'Aaron Fox and company usually lose to Golden State, including at home in Game 7 in Round 1 last spring.
Obviously, this team beat us last year in the playoffs, and I mean, it feels good to win this game, but we know we have to go on the road and win another one for us to, I mean, accomplish the first step in our goal.
Which is being the 8th seed in the West. That trip takes them to New Orleans Friday night to decide that final spot. The Pelicans losing at home last night to the Lakers, 110-106. Zion scored 40, grabbed 11 boards, but then left with 3 minutes to go with left leg soreness. LeBron and the Lakers are now the 7th seed. They need some rest before they face the Nuggets in Denver on Saturday.
It was a long-ass road trip. You know, you almost forget that we was in Memphis before these two games. You know, tonight was definitely a playoff game. So get your mind right, get your body right, you know, trying to get as much recovery we can before we have to go out there on Saturday. I'm not on the floor on Saturday versus Denver.
LeBron had 23 points, 9 boards, and 9 assists last night. Anthony Davis threw in 20 and 15 rebounds.
Do the Lakers, by the way, just sort of tank those first two games in Denver? Just be like, all right, just rest and hope that they can rally? You know, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes teams will not go full out of game one of the series, try and get their legs underneath them, and then bring it on. Because I don't know how they last in Denver in that high altitude. LeBron looked like he was gasping by the end.
Well, I mean, he played 41 minutes last night. You really can't stake the Nuggets to a two-game lead and think you have a prayer. I think, you know, this is something that the Cavs used to do with the Warriors when they were really up against it with LeBron, which is really try to go for game one. Like, game one, try to steal game one and maybe catch your opponent off guard a little bit and then see where things go from there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough to get off to a good start in this series. I mean, I think it's going to be a tough series.
Yeah.
There you go, NBA analysis.
But you know what? And this will be the first thing out of LeBron's mouth if they lose game one Saturday was tired, altitude.
Memphis trip.
The Memphis trip.
Don't forget the Memphis trip.
We were there two Wednesdays ago. Still feeling it. Blake Griffin called it a career yesterday after 13 NBA seasons with the Clippers, Pistons, Nets, and Celtics. His best years, of course, with Lob City. His best season was 2013-14 when he finished third in MVP voting. Griffin was also voted All-NBA five times, but never first team. EJ wants me to ask the group, is he a Hall of Famer?
I mean, everyone's a Hall of Famer, but if even if with a very high standard...
Big time Hall of Famer. Dude jumped over a Kia. What else you have to do?
An event that didn't count. That's so funny. Like, that's the thing he's known for.
That's what dunk contests do for people. Yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer. He had a pretty, how many years was he in college for 2 years or one? I can't remember. He was in for two, had a million points at Oklahoma. I think he's, and they combine that, right? That's part of the criteria for
basketball. It's the basketball Hall of Fame, yeah, not the NBA Hall of Fame.
He's going to make it. Also, he's famous. You know, one thing, what jumps to mind, I mean, he really did have a crazy way to ruin his time in L.A. with punching that guy. That was a bizarre scandal. Because he's known as a nice guy. He's a comedian.
Yes, I forgot about that.
And he knocked out one of his friends. That's definitely a black mark on his career. But other than that, it's been great.
Man, I totally forgot about that
until
you mentioned it. It was
big
someone who worked for the team, right?
Yes, and it was his good buddy, and they were at a dinner table, and that story has never really fully come out as far as I know.
So I believe I don't think he has any NBA, all NBA first teams.
Correct.
He's got two second teams and three third teams, pardon me.
That's pretty good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely a Hall of Famer. I think he's kind of underrated as a player and because those Clippers teams didn't go as far in the playoffs.
Well,
and a lot of it was because he was hurt.
Collapses.
A couple, but some of them he got hurt in the playoffs, or he didn't play in the playoffs, or someone else got hurt in the playoffs. It was Chris Paul. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the weird stuff happened to those Clippers teams. He was a superstar. Like, there was really no question. Like, he was a dominant player. It's just, you know, the way he played doesn't lend itself to a long prime. And once it went pretty quick.
Man, well, they traded him to Siberia, too. I mean, that Detroit team had nothing on it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, a lot of those playoff failures, now you look back and say, well, was Doc Rivers the guy to win those series? So,
right.
And Chris Paul, too, had a lot of playoff failures. So I don't put it all on Blake. He's my favorite kind of player, you know, is Vince Carter, just starting out as a dunking machine, then sort of devolve into a three-point shooter. That's Blake. If you can't jump over everyone, then he moved, and it turned out to be a great shooter, which no one ever would have saw. Yes, I think his career was disappointing in the playoffs, but I think, you know, you're right. It's a pretty low bar nowadays to get into the NBA Hall of Fame, and I definitely put him in despite the playoff sort of failures. He also, entertainment-wise, there's nobody would try dunks that Blake Griffin would try. He'd be 6 feet away and be like, you know what, I'm going to try and throw this one down. He was awesome.
And never went to a Western Conference final.
Only 3,296 fans, that's Scotty Scheffler's fault, watched the A's lose to the Cardinals last night, 3-2. The Mets rallying for a 3-1 win over the Pirates, clinching their fourth straight series win, while the Brewers will lose their first series of the season thanks to a 6-3 home loss to the Padres. A woman who accused Trevor Bauer of sexual assault is now facing criminal charges for allegedly defrauding Bauer and another separate man. There's also a count of extortion connected to him. This is not the woman, though, whose accusations led to Bauer's MLB suspension. Browns QB Deshaun Watson says he is now throwing at full strength following November shoulder surgery, and the Washington Capitals clinched the final wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference by winning their regular season finale last night in Philly, 2-1. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thank you so much. Our great debate today is the best sports call of all time, the best live call. We see you guys on the phones. We want to get your input on this. Also, a very unique, maybe new strategy for how to pick a quarterback in the NFL draft. We'll get to that, too. It's Maggie and Perloff, Infinity Sports Network.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, the theme for the music today is bands or musicians from cities representing the Western Conference in the NBA playoffs. Where's Vanilla Ice from?
Well, I think
from?
He wore a lot of Miami Hurricane stuff, but is he from Texas?
He is from Texas.
Oh, is this your Dallas?
This is the Dallas icon, Vanilla Ice.
Come on.
All the musicians out of Dallas, all the great country stars out of Dallas.
Post Malone's wearing a Cowboys jersey right now. You could have at least done him or Stevie Ray Vaughan, nothing.
The iconic Vanilla Ice. Acclaimed rapper, acclaimed actor.
Great dude.
He was also great in That's My
All
Boy.
The Sandler, he's part of the Sandler clan. He's awesome.
It was phenomenal in That's My Boy. That is absolutely his best role.
Also, another person who was in our Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonder bracket, our March Madness tournament that we had, Vanilla Ice did make it in. There you go. Okay. Great debate today, which we do on Wednesdays around here. Something loosely based on the news. Vern Lundquist, John Sterling, two iconic voices who are calling it a career. We're asking you for the greatest call of all time, the greatest live call of all time. Larry is in San Francisco, has got a nominee for us. Hi, Larry.
Hi, how are you doing today?
We're doing excellent. What's up?
Great. Okay, Cal versus Stanford, 1982 is called the play. And the fans, the bands and the fans ran onto the field. And Joe Starkey with his squeaky voice at the end of the call.
Here's what it sounded like.
Rodgers along the sideline. Another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going into the end zone. The Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God, the most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Unbelievable, Larry. Fantastic nomination for one of the all-time great calls. What's awesome about that, and that's why I picked the kick six, the Auburn-Alabama amazing call there, because you have to do a little of the unique play-by-play, yeah, right? Because interesting things are happening, like the band is on the field, but then you also have to contextualize in the moment what it means. That's what makes a great live call.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. The band is on the field. Like, you can say there's certain calls where the words immediately translate. The band is on the field. EJ went with Havlicek stole the ball.
Yeah.
I went with Do You Believe in Miracles? You don't even need to hear the call, you know. Certain calls get a few. There's only like five or six calls. The Giants win the pennant. Although there are amazing, like your kick six call is amazing. You don't know the actual phrase that is used, but the band is on the field. Everyone knows immediately what that means.
Duncan is in Jersey City. Hey, Duncan, how are you?
How are you doing? Listen, I know everybody knows Uncle Howie Rose for calling the Met games right now, but in 94 he did the Rangers playoffs. The call against the Devils, the Mateau call, absolutely brilliant call, especially factoring in the Rangers' drought and the year they finally broke through. But I do got a comment, though. Somebody on the staff nominating a wrestling call.
It's Carlos.
That was me.
Big
I did.
Jim Ross, iconic. Yeah.
I'm on XM Radio staring at my thing, and it says CBS Sports, and this knucklehead puts in a wrestling call, which we all know isn't a sport.
Duncan, it's, so here's the thing. We allow the technicality because JR is an all-time great. I think that Jim Ross could call anything. You know, he chose to go to professional wrestling, but Jim Ross could have been, you know, he's a huge college football fan. Jim Ross could have been a college football announcer. He could have done anything, but he picked wrestling. As for the Howie Rose, and Duncan, thanks for the call. Yeah. As for the Howie Rose Game 7 between the Rangers and the Devils, this is what it sounded like.
Batista for the Devils, plays it cross ice into the far corner. Matteau swoops in to intercept. Matteau behind the net, swings it in front. He scores! Matteau! Defend Matteau! And the Rangers have one more hill to climb, baby! But it's Mark Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the final!
And that was 94. And then the finals, when the Rangers won, you got a great Sam Rosen call there of this one will last a lifetime. But I think that's more only famous in New York.
I think the most famous wrestling quote, I mean, let's be honest, it's still real to me, damn it, is probably more iconic. Settle down, man. That might be the most iconic wrestling, huh? It's still real to me. So what did Jim Ross say? Like, Jim Ross was just, what did he say? What's the line? Does he doesn't have a line, though.
He's broken him in half.
He killed him. Yeah. God is my witness. He's broken in half. Those are iconic.
Those slobber knockers. That's a huge thing that he has.
I think he named his book that too. Jim Ross is he's been a fun friend of the show. He's an amazing broadcaster. And I know that our caller Duncan said Carlos should not have picked a wrestling call because we are a sports talk radio station. He obviously missed our turn at WrestleMania. But
our heel turn in WrestleMania.
Our heel turn in WrestleMania. We really turned heel on the whole crowd, everyone who was there. But, you know, I do think that Jim Ross could have called anything.
He could have called paint drying. He just has an iconic voice.
I believe so. Okay, let's go to William is in San Francisco. Hey, William, how are you?
Morning. How is everybody this morning?
We're doing great. What's on your mind?
They kind of took my thunder already, Callie. I had called in earlier. I was mentioning the Bears.
Cal Bears against Stanford. Game. Yep, an all-timer.
And then right after that, I think Perloff mentioned my Bobby Thompson shot heard around the world at the Giants. That was just definitely iconic, of course, in the Bay Area. But, I mean, the excitement and everything in that call was pretty good, no
well,
doubt.
Well, let's hear it, William.
Back of throws.
Well, that's interesting. Is it iconic in the Bay Area? Bay Area well, claims this Giants
that's
win?
That's what I'm saying. That definitely happened.
Oh, yeah.
In
that
New
was
York.
1950.
Polo grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 1950. Like the Dodgers didn't move until 57, right? So I don't know. I get it. That is pretty cool, though. And that's another one where Giants win the pennant. I'll bet you most people know that line and don't know the full context.
Probably not.
Yeah. Because obviously it was a long time ago. But yeah, it certainly has been in a million movies. The Giants win the pennant, so it must have been big.
855-212-4227. Mike's in Idaho has got one for us. Hey, Mike, how are you?
My call. This one, I grew up in the Seattle area in the 90s. I was a kid, so the one that just lives rent-free is Dave Niehaus, longtime broadcaster for the Seattle Mariners, and his call on Edgar Martinez's double where Griffey scores to win. I mean, it's been iconic in the Macklemore song, too. So, you know, it's hitting pop culture, too. It's a big one.
Wait, Mike, so we don't have it queued up. Can you just say it for us? Yeah. What is it?
you know, I was at the game, so I didn't actually hear the call. I was a kid at the game up in the third deck of the Kingdom, so I didn't hear the call. But I went back later and saw it on TV. And Dave Niehaus is talking about Edgar. He's up to bat. He hits a double down the left field line. Griffey's on first,
yeah,
and Joey Cora's on second. Joey Cora scores easily. Griffey's round in third, even though he shouldn't, because it's a double down left field line. They got the throw on the way in, and he's chugging like nothing else. And Dave Niehaus, I don't remember exactly how he phrases it, but he says something about Griffey rounds third. The throw to the plate is not in time. Griffey slides in. He stands up, jumping around. Well, he tries to stand up, but everyone's tackling him. And then Dave Niehaus going on, the Mariners win the pennant, and his famous line, my oh my, that was his catch. Yep.
Mike, thank you. While you were describing it, we found it.
They would love a base hit into the gap, and they could win it with junior speed, the stretch. And the 0-1 pitch on the way to Edgar Martinez. Swung on the line down the left field line for a base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it. It just continues. My, oh, my. Edgar Martinez.
It's my favorite baseball play of all time. It's not even a close second. Save baseball. I was the best.
We continue the great debate, greatest live calls of all time. Also, what's at stake for the Warriors?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.